Welcome to Unit 12 in Practical Mathematics for Christian Leaders Institute. I admire your endurance as having endured this long with me mumbling along on a lot of things you will, some of them find use for, and most of them you'll probably never return to again. But the important thing is you've been exposed and you've learned the contexts. And we're going to look at two things, one fairly easy, the other one perhaps a little more challenging. Exponential notation, that's the easy bit, believe it or not. The other one is going to be looking at ethics and business. And again, as you would expect, this is going to be done from a biblical standpoint. But let's start with the easy stuff first, exponential notation. You know, we deal with numbers. Some of them are very large. Some of them are very small, especially in physics, but in other areas of science, we can be using some really, really small numbers and some really, really large numbers in formulas. That happens in chemistry as well. And in some areas of mathematics, we actually use some pretty huge numbers. In fact, the hugest numbers used by anybody are in areas of mathematics. So, let's get an idea of what these numbers look like. I don't know if you took physics, but this is a universal gravitational constant. Look at all of those crazy zeros. William, my goodness. Then you've got a few numbers, and here's the units, cubic meters per kilogram per second squared. Then you get other numbers. This is Avogadro's constant, at least the most recent measure of it. Oh my goodness, look at all those zeros. Okay, this was fun. I actually have a program that I wrote that will do calculations out to remarkably large degree of precision. This takes up two lines. There's something like 67, maybe 68 digits in this. And frankly, it's how many ways that a deck of cards can be shuffled into. I'm sorry, looking at that, my eyes cross. That's huge. Isn't there a better way of handling this? Of course there is. It's called exponential notation. So, some number times 10 to some exponent. Now, this number here, you adjust it so that it's somewhere between 0 and 10. You want it to be greater than 0 and less than 10. Obviously, if it's 0, who cares? You know, it's a 0. But if it's anything bigger than 0, and generally, you do it between 1 and 10. So you wouldn't have 0.3 times 10 to the something. You would have 3 times 10 to the something else. Okay? Very much more compact. When you've got your number written out, you just count out the number of decimal places that you have to move the decimal to get this number here, A, greater than or equal to 1, and less than 10. That number of decimal places, that's your E right here. Then you shift the decimal places so that works, and you've got A times 10 to the E. That doesn't look too tough. Even I can do that. So let's go back to those really horrible numbers I had a moment ago. Universal gravitational concept. Oh, that's ugly. But you will see, if you look it up, you will see it as this, 6.67384 times 10 to the negative 11th times these units. Avogadro's number, this becomes the much more manageable, this, 6.022, etc., 10 to the 23rd. Ways to shuffle a deck of cards? I don't think we really achieved a whole lot with this one, okay? Let's round that a little bit and call it 8.066 times 10 to the 67th. That's still a walloping large number. If you shuffled up a deck of cards once every one millionth of a second, and you went through all possible combinations, that would still be a fabulous length of time. I mean, the evolutionists and the cosmologists have got an estimate of the age of the universe. It would be tons of times longer than the age of the universe before you could exhaust it. But either way, very large number, but it's represented now very compactly. This is a ton better than this, and this is a little better than that. At least you don't have to put up with these dozen zeros. Now, how do you do arithmetic in exponential notation? You know, multiplying is easy. A times 10 to this times B times 10 to that is A times B to the 10 to the, add the exponents together. And you know, if A times B is greater than 10 or less than 1, which it probably isn't going to be with a multiplying, by the way, you may have to adjust the exponent, and that would be A plus B plus 1. Why it would never be anything other than plus 0 or plus 1, that's for another math course. Now, if you're doing division, you got the same two numbers, A divided by B times 10 to the A minus B. If A and B, A times B is less than 10, you just adjust the decimal to get it so that A times B is between 1 and 10. And again, that may be only one place, but you still got to do it, okay? So here's some examples. This times this equals, well, let's see, let's do the arithmetic. That, we adjust this so that it's between 1 and 10, and you have that. Here's another example. You divide 6 into 400, multiply 6 times 10 to the negative second times 4.8 times 10 squared. You get 14.4 times 10 to the zero. Shift that decimal place and we get 1.44 times 10 to the first. On the division, just run through. You divide 6 times 10 to the negative second into 4.8 times 10 squared. You get this, 0.4 times 10 to the fourth. Okay, that's not what we want. We want it 4.0 times 10 to the third. Here's another one. Divide this into this. 4.0 times 10 to the fifth divided by 2.0 times 10 squared. Subtract those two. Divide those two. There you are, 2.0 times 10 to the third. It's pretty simple once you get the hang of it. Adding and subtracting with exponential notation, that's a little more challenging. You have to adjust things, the exponent of the 10, so that they all have the same exponent times 10. So you do your adding, subtracting, whatever you need to do there, and then return the numbers back to the standard format. So for instance, 4.5 times 10 to the third plus 2.4 times 10 to the fourth. We adjust this one so that it's 10 to the third. Suddenly you're adding 4.5 to 24, multiply it times 10 to the third. So that gives you 28.5, and there's your answer. Same game here. I'm not going to go through all of the things, but we adjust things so that the multiplier, the coefficient, has the same exponent on 10. Add them together, and there's your result. The subtraction, same game. You see where we get the exponents to match, do the arithmetic, and then adjust it. Match the exponents, do the subtraction. You'll notice I've got a negative number here, and then we adjust it the way we need to. Universal gravitational constant plus Avogadro's number. Oh, come on. This is what you're adding together, and you get this ridiculous result. Okay. That makes a point. For adding and subtracting, maybe exponential notation might not be your favorite tool. But it's still there, okay? I'd end up rounding this to back to Avogadro's number and would forget this tiny addition here. Still, it makes the point, and believe me, it's a mess. So that's the basics of exponential notation. Let's move on to something else. Business ethics. Now, there's a lot of scriptures quoted talking about business ethics again. And just like we did with the other set of readings in the scriptures, you need to read them probably two or three times through with prayer and meditation. Because the prayer and meditation and scriptures together are going to give you some guidance on how to run your business. All right, point blank. If you're hoping that the Lord will be supportive of your ministry, will bless your ministry, if you're hoping that He will, or expecting that He will bless your business, you need to run it His way. He's not going to bless something where you're ignoring His mandates. Now, the thing you need to remember, and I've mentioned this several times, what I'm saying about business and ministry ethics, the principles in these verses apply every bit as much to how you interact with other businesses, even if you're not owning one, and it says a great deal about your personal finances as well. Okay? You should look at your personal finances from the attitude that you are going to use the same principles that we are talking about in business to guide how you interact with other people, even with your own personal finances. So the first thing you've got to realize, and I've mentioned this before about people as individuals, how you conduct your business reflects on things. On my faith in God. Do I really trust God? Am I willing to put myself out on a limb in His name? Am I willing to be thoughtful about how I do something like that? It reflects on God Himself. If I call myself a Christian, and I'm out there in the business world, and I'm cheating you, you're going to look at me, see me cheating you, and almost invariably you're going to think, great, so Christians are all cheats. They must have a really sloppy God. Or worse yet, their God doesn't matter or is worse than useless. If you conduct your business fairly, honestly, and they're confronted with you being a Christian, that fairness and honesty is going to reflect well on God. What kind of picture are you painting of our God by the way you conduct business, either as a businessman, a leader of a ministry, or just as a human being? It also reflects on you in general. If you're a cheat in business, they expect you to cheat elsewhere. If you're honest in business, and they learn to trust you as a business person, they'll be more willing to trust you. If you're cheerful about how you handle business, if you say, hey, I owe you this much, I'm just glad to pay it, I want to keep these things straight, you've got a living just like I do, they're going to be more willing to trust you as well, if you're willing to trust them. So those are important things to think about. How does this make my faith look? How does this represent God? And what does it make me look like with everything you do in business? Now, when you conduct business, even if it's just, you know, buying and selling as a private person, there's a number of things you need to do. Number one, use honest measurements, but be generous in your measurements as well, as much as you are able. if people see you being generous, they see you being honest, they're going to be honest back, and possibly generous back as well. That's not a guarantee. And when you have employees, be honest with the wages, pay them what they're worth, and be generous about it, and be timely in the payments. You know, different cultures have different ways they handle how you pay in terms of time. In Jesus' day, most of your workers were paid at the end of the day for the day's work. Now it's perhaps once a week, some places every other week, some places it's once a month. But when it's time to make that payment, make it, maybe even a little early, to make sure they've got it when they need it. Take care of your employees, because they're taking good care of you too. And if you take good care of them, there's a good chance they will reciprocate. Be honest in your pricing. Be honest in the estimates you make for what you offer in terms of goods or services. There was a big chunk of one of the earlier lessons on how to figure out what an honest price would look like, whether it's a price for some sort of material good or an estimate of the provision of a service. Use that. Don't forget to calculate in the fact that you indeed have to live off of this, but be honest about it. Don't gouge is what I'm saying. And that's what Scripture says too. Deal with small purchases or accounts with the same respect and fairness as the largest one. You have a store, somebody comes in and buys a small item. Be respectful. Treat them well. Just as well as you treat the person that's coming in and buying a fortune's worth of stuff from you, ordering a great amount. They're still people just like you are. Even if their purchase is small, remember who got the real accolade from Jesus in the story of the two mites, or lepta, the two small coins. That lady didn't put in much of anything, but she still got the accolade. And if you're producing goods or providing services, you know, if I'm doing that, I need to make sure that I am giving them the best quality I can for the price I'm asking, the best service I can for the price I'm asking. And really, excuse me, really, I need to be planning to do it to my fullest ability. I am representing God doing this. I need to be aware of how this is going to make God look. Boy, does that ever change your attitudes, or at least it should. Moreover, there's a few other points. I need to provide what I promise in terms of goods or services in a timely manner. If I say I'm going to have it there tomorrow, either my team or myself doing something for you, or some sort of thing you've purchased that's being delivered to you, and I say I'm going to have it there tomorrow, I need to have it there tomorrow. If I say a week from next Tuesday, I have to have it there a week from next Tuesday, or even before. And if I can't, I need to call and explain to you why. Well, my car broke down, or, you know, I was in the hospital, whatever it is, okay? But there has to be, you should have a good reason for why you don't do that in a timely manner. You should pay your bills promptly, at least by the date they're due. And really, as a believer, you want to go a little bit before that. Maybe not 2 or 3 months before it, but at least get it there a day or two earlier. Make sure that they know that you are serious about paying what you owe. Now, if I have competition, and it's, I have to admit, a rare field where you're the only provider of a good or a service, and you have competition, if you're talking about your competitors, speak charitably about them. Now, be honest about it. Be as kind as you can about it. Don't go out there and just try to make yourself look better by knocking them. Don't build yourself up by tearing them down. Again, what kind of a witness is that? before the other people out there. You know, you're tearing down your competition. I hear people doing that. My first reaction is, and I wonder what they're saying about me behind my back. That kind of thing doesn't make me happy about doing business with people. It's not something that we should be doing as believers anyway. And here's one that's tough for a lot of us. As an employee, I need to give my full effort to my job. I don't want to be wasting my employer's resources. And that includes the time for which I am paid. If I'm there to do something, if I'm there and I'm trying to screw thingies on a widget frame, or whatever, then I need to be doing that. Period. They're paying me for the time. If I'm not giving him, my employer, full effort on my job, if I am wasting my employer's resources, I'm basically stealing from them. That's unethical. It's not scriptural. So, let's take a look at a summary of that. And here is exactly the summary. The scriptures say I should conduct my businesses with others exactly the way I would want those others to conduct business with me. Fairly, honestly, prompt in provision and payment, and do it in a cheerful and kindly manner. And if things aren't going to work out exactly as planned, I'm what told in advance. If those are things I want, then I need to provide those to others. Scripture says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. I think it applies in business every bit as much as it applies elsewhere in life. So, that's the end of Unit 12. You've put up with me, and I appreciate you. God bless you in your ministry, and then as you move forward in it, I hope I've given you something useful in terms of either how the Bible tells you to conduct things, concepts in economics and in accounting and in business practices, and I hope maybe I've also given you some mathematics that will stick with you and be useful to you. God's best to you as you proceed in your ministries.